How many shots does it take to bring down a pheasant in South Dakota? Well, that depends on whether you are Governor Kristi Noem or Kevin Wooster. Kevin Wooster writes about this and so much more about hunting season and messaging about COVID-19. But first, he joins us here on the phone. Kevin, how's it going?
Yeah, I think it's going quite well. I'm working on my aim and considering where I'm going to buy my next sandwich and how.
Let's talk about that aim first, because clearly there was a controversial and widely shared video of Governor Kristi Noem in the field with a shotgun pheasant hunting and three shots to take down a pheasant. And some people criticized her for that. And you found out that, maybe it takes a little more. Tell us a little bit about your first hunting experiences of the season.
Let's be honest. I've proved before that it can take three shots and more to bring down a pheasant. Often not, because I was only shooting a double barrel, so I only had two shots to miss with. But I love that. And in my defense, I think she was shooting a preserved bird, and it was an easier shot than I had in a wind after chasing a wild pheasant on public land for, down at La Creek. Actually, it was on a state game production area near La Creek, which is a tough bird to hit. But still, boom, 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 three shots in a row. And I've always had a problem with lifting my head off the gun in between shots. You're a Marine. You probably know about this kind of stuff. And one of the things that impressed me about Kristi Noem on that, she missed two shots at that rooster, but she never lifted her gun off the shotgun, and she kept shooting until she got it. And I didn't. I kept shooting until I didn't get it. And I stood in the field and said, well, Governor, you beat me on that one.
She's consistent.
And she looked like somebody that had handled a gun a lot and was pretty sure that she was going to keep firing until she got the bird. And I praised her for that. And some people thought that was stupid. So,
yeah. And of course, we don't know how many takes that took either, to be fair.
And so, let me say this. It's not easy to take. I worked for tourism for two years in the 80s, mid-80s, and we did some of that stuff for promotion. Mainly, but some video stuff. It's hard, even with preserve birds that are easier to handle, and you can put them in boxes and set them up somewhere and let them flush. And I don't know that that's what happened here, but it's hard to speak to the camera, turn around, walk in, and have a bird flush within the range view of the camera, and then shoot it and have that all work out. So I don't know how that worked out, but it's all tricky stuff. It was certainly staged at some degree, unlike mine, but she still shot better than I did.
And we're having a little fun with this, and I can hear listeners now saying, hey, this is serious stuff. And so let's get to the serious stuff part of this conversation, because there's a T-shirt that she's selling, less COVID, more hunting, as a fundraiser for her campaign. And she's taking a lot of criticism for that, which she is responding to and saying, what do Democrats want, more COVID and less hunting? It's turned into a bit of a political moment. And let's talk about messaging. And, as we look at hunting season, first of all, I want to ask you before we get fully into that, were there a lot of people out? I mean, what are you noticing about hunting season and the number of people who are coming from out of state to hunt?
Well, I've been three times down to public land around Martin. That's you got to drive a ways from Rapid to get to any decent pheasant hunting generally. And pretty much everybody I saw down there was from other states. And that was Texas, it was Kansas, it was Louisiana. And there were some camps down there that I hadn't noticed before. Now, I don't know if that's just coincidence or if that's having an effect. And I'll have a better idea in a month or a month and a half after I actually do more traveling around the state and looking at stuff. But I think the shirt is cute, but it's cute with some kind of tone deaf, implications at a time when 330 some of us in South Dakota have died, and this is a very serious disease, and so you have to be careful with messaging, and maybe they could have been a little more careful with that message,
Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing, especially when it comes to. There's a series of inviting people to the state, whether it's inviting them because we're open for business, inviting people for a large event such as Sturgis or the 4th of July, inviting them for hunting season, inviting them to relocate here because of how we do our policies. inviting law enforcement officers to move here because of how we support our police. There's a lot of inviting going on, and a campaign tour right now. And I want to talk a little bit about some of that messaging, Kevin, and does it interfere or make people think twice about her priorities when it comes to the people who are getting sick and the new cases that we're seeing? We're really headed in the wrong direction with new cases. That's pretty undeniable right now.
You know, we are. And last summer, I thought to myself, well, things are going pretty well for Kristi Noem. She has not shut down the state. She's not issued these orders. We're looking at 40 or 50 or 60 people in the hospital, far below what we thought we would have. Deaths are down. She's maybe on the way to really looking good on this. And, of course, now we have 300 people in the hospital, and it's rising, and deaths are up, and cases are up. And I'm more nervous than I was as a 69-year-old last summer. And I'm wishing she were here more. And I wish in our state where she serves us first or should serve us first. And I'm less concerned about the Trump reelection campaign than I am about my health and my neighbor's health. And she's not convinced me that she is. And I'm disappointed in that because I voted her in a primary because over my friend, Marty Jackley, who I think would have been a good governor, because I thought she had more potential to be a really good governor. And I'm disappointed about that vote. I voted for Billy Sutton because I thought he would be a better governor. And boy, am I thinking that right now. I just feel like she's lost the early lead she had in responsibility in this disease when she told some people, don't go to that car race because we shouldn't be gathering right now. She didn't miss an order. She led, and they listened to her. And her leadership right now is leadership directed at people in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas who happen to be Republicans. And she's looking, as Donald Trump does not care at all about people that didn't vote for her, she's acting now like a governor who doesn't care about people that didn't vote for her and don't agree with her. I'm extraordinarily disappointed in that because I had great hopes for her.
Tell me about the difference between, if you can articulate that, please, you know, a mandate and leadership and messaging. How do you see, you know, what is her, you know, is she has made it clear that she's not interested in a statewide, sweeping mask mandate or a stay-at-home order. That's really just not been on the table. But tell me what you think she does have a potential for as far as leadership about, you know, some of the mitigation efforts that could make it, that we know scientifically will make a difference.
Absolutely. I'm not asking Governor Noem to issue a state mandate on masks. I'm not asking her to make us stay home. I'm not asking her to close businesses. I'm asking her to be a leader and to model by example, to promote appropriate mask use, to wear a mask once in a while, as even Donald Trump does, to stop promoting the contrary, so that suddenly I stop at a sandwich shop as a 69-year-old man with white hair, clearly in a vulnerable group, and four people, younger people without masks, surround me within 6 feet. At that sandwich shop, there's a man and a woman behind the counter making sandwiches and talking as they lean into their sandwiches without masks. I walked out of there and said, Governor Noem, that's on you. You don't have to issue these orders, but you have to lead in a way that these people think that I, as a 69-year-old man, matter, and you're not. And that's going to cost some people some lives. And I know that sounds harsh, But that's exactly what I thought when I walked out of there. She's got people like Paul Ten Haken that says this week, however he's failed otherwise or not failed, I don't know, wear a dang mask while you're indoors. We're not asking you to sign up for the draft. Her own epidemiologist, Josh Clayton, is talking about how this is masks as part of an overall, you know, layers of protection. So she has her own people given the right message, and then she gives the wrong message. And the impact I saw in that subway shop, and I'm seeing it all over, that people don't care about other people's health and they don't care about common courtesy. And she needs to change the way she leads on that.
Kevin Wooster is joining us today, and you can hear, you can read his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your perspective and your time. Stay healthy.
Thanks, Laura.